We are Aaron and Stephanie DiMaggio. We have a 21-month-old, and she is in nursery right now. If you have a baby in nursery as well, she's trying to give your baby a plastic bottle. Like, she's like, oh, the baby has the bottle. Like, the baby gets the bottle. And she's like, oh, no, baby didn't get the plastic bottle. But we have a 21-month-old. She goes with us to Africa. We serve in Kenya, Africa, East Africa. And so just like Pastor Mo said, we started out 7 years ago, almost 8 years ago, right? I know I look 16. I promise you I'm not 16. Like, I'm not going to tell you how old I just turned, but I'm not 16. And so we started out 7 years ago interning beneath Pastor Mike and Miss Marigold. We knew that we needed two things. We needed the experience of the experience, and we needed the Spirit of God. We had the Spirit of God. We did not have the experience. And so we interned beneath their ministry for 5 years. Four years. And in 2015, God opened the door for us to start our very own ministry in Kenya. And so we started a ministry. It's called Kufi Kia International. It's tongue tire, but it is a Swahili word meaning reach. So we are Reach International. And so God has opened up the door for us to start our own ministry. We purchased 50 acres of land in Africa. On his birthday, I told him, happy birthday, don't ever ask for anything else. And so we purchased 50 acres of land, and God has been so faithful and so good. We have a well now that's providing fresh water for not only us, but the community around us that had to walk miles to get just dirty water. And now they just come into our camp, get water every single day. But not only that, but we're providing the living water. And people always ask us, why do you go? Why do you pack up everything you have, put it in a storage unit, not have a house whenever you come back? Why do you leave your family for 10 months of every single year? Why do you go? And I'll tell you why. We go for the unreached. We go for the people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, they still exist. People who have never, ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We had the opportunity to bring a team deep up in the mountain behind the mountain that we live in. Actually, in the mountain range that we live in, people have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we had an opportunity to go and preach the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And an old man in that village had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even though he was set in his ways, in the culture, in the traditions of what his grandfather did and his great-grandfather did, that day he heard the gospel and he accepted Jesus Christ into his heart and he was saved. That's why we go. We go so that people can hear the gospel and be saved. We go for kids like Jeremiah and Ruth, whose father is not in the picture. Mother is an alcoholic, drug addict, constantly in and out of prison. They ended up on the streets for only a few hours, and we were called to come and help them. And we're able to provide for them housing. We're able to provide for them three meals a day. We're able to make sure that they can go to school and get an education. But more than that, we're able to let them know that they're loved and cared for. And whenever Ruth comes up and wraps her hands around my legs and gives me the biggest hug and looks at me with those big old eyes, she knows she's loved. And she knows that God loves her and has not forgotten her. That's why we go. We go for kids like that that are abandoned. We work with abandoned children. We work with street kids, 7, 8, 9 years old that are addicted to drugs. 7, 8, 9 year olds addicted to drugs. There's no program helping them, and God has given us favor. They know us by name. When we go to town, they come and find us, and God has opened up the door for us to minister to them, for us to counsel them. We now have staff that meets with them at least 2 times, but actually they end up meeting with them more than that because they love these kids, and they meet with them, and they counsel them, and they teach them the word of God, and they feed them, and they're teaching them life skills, and God has just given us great favor. And we go for young boys like that. We were able to rehabilitate a young boy named Otiano who started all of this. In 2014, we met him at a crusade, and he came and he gave up his drugs and he accepted Jesus Christ. And I got a picture of him and Aaron sitting on top of a truck listening to the crusade. He didn't speak any English. He was maybe 10 years old, had never been to school in his entire life. He only spoke his mother tongue in Swahili. That was it. And he accepted Jesus Christ that day, and it broke our hearts that we had no place to provide for him. We had no home. We can feed him, we can give him fruit and everything else, but we had to send him back to the street. And now that boy, he's rehabilitated. He's off of drugs. Not only is he off of drugs, we were able to put him in an adult education program. And through the withdrawals and shaking from the drugs, he was learning how to write his name. And we would go to visit him at school, and he was writing his name. He was reading the cat run. He was learning how to read. And one day he was walking to school dressed in the clothes that we were able to buy for him. And a lady recognized him. She was passing through town. And it was his grandmother that lives 3 hours away from the town that he was in. And she turned around, stopped the taxi, turned around, and she said, "I know this boy." And so they brought it to the lady that works with us. She began weeping. The grandmother said, "I thought he was dead." She said, his father passed away. He ended up on the streets. We had no way of finding him, but this is my grandson. She said, "Can I take him home?" And we said, "Of course." And so he now lives with his grandmother. We're able to put him in school. He's off of drugs. He's doing well. He's healthy. That's why we go. That's why we go. And so, God, amen. All glory to God. God is just opening up doors. We're in a construction season right now, building on that foundation. We've got a team house up to take teams to come and minister with us. We're going to be doing an education program because many of the children in our community, they herd cattle and sheep and goat. They've never been to school, and so we're going to provide an education center for them to get educated and discipled at our compound. And so that's just a little bit about why we go and who we are. We'd love to talk with you more after service and get to know you guys more. But thank you so much for allowing us to come and be with you guys this morning.
I like to expound just a bit on our core value of missions and explain to you why is this such a key to us becoming strong and healthy again. Dan Betzer was quoted as saying, for those of you that don't know Brother Dan, Dan pastors one of the greatest missions churches in the Assemblies of God, First Assembly, Fort Myers. And here's what he said: "I don't know if every missions church is a great church, but I know that every great church is a missions church." You've heard me say that before. In addition to that, I had a chance a few years ago to spend some time with a guy named Benny Ferguson. Some of you might know Brother Benny. Brother Benny was a Life of Loss director for many years and missions awareness program, those type things. And he had a chance to go to dinner one time with Dan Betzer. And he writes a story talking to you about missions. And here's what he said. By the way, he and his wife were at dinner, and his wife's name is Sherry. So it says this: "Sherry and I had dinner with Pastor Dan Betzer, along with two other couples, in November of 2005. I'd been in office earlier that year. He gave me a tour of the church and the property and their plans for expansion. His church had just concluded their annual missions convention the week prior to our dinner. I asked him about the missions convention. He gave a glowing report, went on and on and on. Later in the conversation, I asked him about the progress on the building. His expression changed. He said, 'I really couldn't care less. That building is strictly for the convenience of our people. It's only a tool to help us reach Lee County and Fort Myers.'" Guys, think about that. How many pastors you talk to, and Brother Jerry, they just want to tell you about the building. They want to tell you about the building. They want to tell you about this. They want to tell you about that. Brother Dan realized that buildings are temporary. Thank God for buildings. Thank God for this beautiful building. Thank God for these many sacrifices that were made that we're able to worship together in this beautiful building. But guys, buildings are temporary, but missions is eternal. Brother Dan Betzer has built his church upon that irrefutable fact. And I believe that a core value of this church is the same thing. Guys, people matter. People matter to God. People are eternal. They have absolute value. And when you and I realize that missions is absolutely the heartbeat of God, we're beginning to touch and grasp what God wants to do. Did you know that Lighthouse Community Church here in Berwick supports over 20 different missionaries or missions projects on a monthly basis? And so far this year, we've given over 12.5% of our total budget to missions. So not only do we say missions is important, we believe it. We act upon it. The board and I make decisions based upon these things. So why is missions so important? I believe that missions is God's heartbeat because it fulfills the Great Commission of Mark 16 and 15. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." These guys taking that seriously, okay? Some of us, our world is the Bayou Vista Walmart, okay? But people at Walmart need Jesus too, okay? Some of us, our world is that workplace you go to or different places like that or whatever. But these guys, man, they're going across the oceans to make a difference, to do what the Bible says to do. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." You see, missions is a key to our becoming strong and healthy again as a church. Missions proves a church's selflessness because it's all about others. You know, I mentioned that we spend 12.5% of our budget on missions. Could we use that money in other places? Sure we could. But I don't believe any other place would bring the kind of eternal returns that missions does. You see, guys, when we give to missions, we're getting God's attention. When we give to missions, we're saying, God, we're worried about people. We care about people. It's not just us four and no more. It's more than just what's inside this building. We believe in missions. Missions is not man's idea. It's not even the Assemblies of God's idea. It was and still is God's plan for reaching our world. It's couples like the DiMaggio's that make missions personal. There are young couple who've made a tremendous sacrifice so that the people of Africa can hear the good news. If my ushers would get ready, we're going to receive that special missions offering that I mentioned. You know, guys, they're willing to make some sacrifices that some of us are not willing to make. They go places that some of us will never be. And guys, they're willing to do it with, how old is your little baby? 21 months. Okay. Wow. Did you hear that? The first time they took their baby to Africa, she was 5 months old. Wow, guys. You know, Africa's a little different than Patterson. Africa's a little different than Alexandria, okay? I mean, they took their baby to a place that some of us wouldn't even want to visit, okay? I mean, look, in my vacation stops and on my bucket list of places to go, Africa, sadly, is kind of down on the list, okay? But guys, God called them there. And so all they're doing is being obedient. Now, as I continue my missions message, I want us to turn to possibly the most famous and well-known scripture in all the Bible, John 3:16. Because truly, I believe it tells you all you need to know about missions. You really get to hear all you need to know when it comes to missions by simply looking at John 3:16. So turn there with your in your Bibles, if you will. John 3:16, you probably know it by memorization. It's, you know, if you're going to memorize scriptures, you start with this one, okay? It's a pretty good one. If you're going to try to lead somebody to Jesus, you'll probably mention this one, okay? You go to a ball game and it says, go Tigers and boo Tide and all that stuff. And then you see somebody that says John 3:16. You're going to see that, okay? We see it everywhere, okay? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray today that the Lord would speak to our hearts through his word, that we would have a heart for missions like he has a heart for missions. That we would have a heart for people like he has a heart for people. Lord, I just pray right now over this congregation that you would bless us today, Lord. Help us to realize, Lord God, that this is your heartbeat. God, this is what it's all about. Lord, give us a heart for missions like the DiMaggio's have a heart for missions. Give us a heart for people, Lord, like your heart for people. God, touch us today. Anoint me as the communicator this morning. Help me to speak truth today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody would say, amen and amen. So I'm going to break this scripture down a little bit. The good news is I'm only at one scripture, so I can't be that long, right? Yeah, you know better than that, okay? But the first thing I want to remind you is God so loved the world. God so loved the world. You see, guys, this idea that God loved the entire world, that was a novel idea at that time. Do you realize that the idea that God loves the whole world was a new idea at that time? The Jews believed God loved them and hated everybody else. The Jews were kind of like, God loves us. He doesn't love y'all so much. That's why we're going to call y'all Gentiles, okay? But the idea that God loved the whole world. Remember, Jesus was talking to a religious leader at the time, right? He was having this interaction with Nicodemus, and he was encouraging him, God loved the entire world. I have a feeling that kind of blew his mind, okay? A little earlier, he said, a man must be born again. That kind of blew Nicodemus's mind. So he's still trying to grasp, how does that happen? And then Jesus said, God so loved the world. You see, guys, the fact that God loves everyone is shocking even to some of us. You know, I've said it before that God loves you just as much today as he did on your worst day of your life. Now, for some religious folks, that's kind of hard to grasp. Brother Rick, do you realize that God loves you as much today as he did 25, 35 years ago when you were living in the world? The fact that he loves us is a constant. Now, is he more pleased with us serving him? Absolutely, okay? Is he more pleased with us worshiping him on a Sunday morning than trying to sleep off a hangover from a Saturday night? Absolutely. But his love is the constant. God so loved the world. And we need to grasp the idea that God loves everybody. God loves the murderer. God loves the immoral person, the wife beater, the child abuser, the thief, the alcoholic, the homeless person. The list goes on and on. Those people that we don't love so much, God loves them. Guys, we need to realize that God's love is the driving factor behind everything we do. Love compels the DiMaggio's to go back to Africa. Love compels us to do things for the kingdom. Love compels us to serve God. Love compels us to do what God is calling us to do here in Berwick. Love is the driving factor. You see, God loves every man, not just the religious, not just the good. He does not only love the people who love him, he loves everyone. Even the unlovely and the unloving, the unbelieving, the obstinate, the selfish, the hard-headed. From a hard-headed point of view, I'm really glad God loved me, even when I was hard-headed. God loves me. His love for us is the driving force behind missions. Romans 10 tells us, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved." We're all whosoever's. It levels the playing field. God's love levels the playing field. In fact, in light of his love, his will is that none would perish. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long suffering toward us, would not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. Do you know about 20 years ago, I hadn't been saved very long at all, an evangelist came to our church and he preached on salvation, preached on reaching your family members for Christ, and I hung on to that verse. And I created that as a verse that I would pray over my parents who weren't serving God at that time. I prayed it over my uncles and my aunts that didn't know God at that time. And do you know what? In God's grace and mercy, he'd allowed me personally to have a part in reaching every person that I put down in my family. And what I did is every day I prayed, "God, it's not your will that any would perish." JD, I would pray every day, "Lord, it's not your will that my mom or dad would perish. It's not your will that my aunt or my uncle would perish." Every day, LJ, I would pray, "Lord, it's not your will. They are living outside of your will. Lord, let their lives line up with your will." Now, why do I tell you that? Because every one of us in here have people that don't know God in our families, right? Every one of us here have unsaved loved ones. We have that prodigal son, that grandson, that kid that pulling our hair out, okay? God is not slack concerning his promises, but long-suffering, patient toward us, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Now you see, guys, at the end of that promise, now that I'm on the backside of that promise and I look back, Fabian, and I see all that God's done, I'm just excited. You're a little bit more on the front end of that promise, okay? You still got all those friends that you used to have that don't know Jesus today. You know what? You could fill up 2 or 3 rows if we get all your friends up in here, couldn't we? But guess what? It's God's will that he would. That God doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. We need to begin to claim that promise. We need to begin to pray that promise over those that we love. Guys, God's love is the compelling factor over everything we do. See, another fact about God's love is the basis of God's love is his nature. God is love. 1 John 4:4. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Verse 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is love. "He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." God is love. Therefore, he loves, he acts, he demonstrates, he shows his love. Romans 5 and 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I'm really glad God didn't wait for me to clean my act up before he came for me. Because Casey, I wasn't no good at cleaning my own act up. I tried to get it all together. Chantel really helped, okay? Brother Jerry, Sister Ann, Chantel helped a whole lot, okay? Y'all know, she helped a lot. But Fabian, she still couldn't seal the deal. But God showed his love that he died for me and he died for you. The compelling nature of missions, the compelling nature of why we exist as a church is love. And love also leads to action. You see, love expresses itself. Love does not stand still. It doesn't do nothing. It's not dormant, complacent, or inactive. If love actually exists, it has to act and express itself. It has to do something good. Love is always demonstrating love to others. If you as a husband say you love your wife, you got to show it sometimes, okay? You got to hold her hand in public, okay? You got to take her to the mall sometimes, okay? God, by the way, guys, that bench outside the stores, it's for us, Brother Bernie. It's the guy bench, okay? Just say, excuse me, and sit next to some other guy. Seth, that's what we do. It's the guy bench, okay? Don't you love that bench? You know what? But love expresses itself. Love means we do something about it. Not just on Valentine's Day, not just on an anniversary, not just on a birthday. By the way, don't forget those dates, okay? But love leads to action. It leads to action. You see, guys, the compelling nature behind missions is God's love for the world. Love should compel us as well. Love compelled God to do something, and we'll get to that in a second. Love should compel us to do something as well. So what did love compel God to do? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son. You see, that's the evidence of God's love. The evidence of God's love is that he gave his Son. God demonstrated his love in the most perfect way possible. He gave his only begotten Son to the world. As God, he's perfect, which means his love is perfect. Therefore, not only does he love, but he does so perfectly. He so loves the world. He loves to perfection, loves to the ultimate degree. He gave the best that heaven had to offer. He gave the best. You know, he could have sent Gabriel, could have sent Michael. They couldn't have got the job done. Sister Valley, he had to send Jesus. He had to send the best. Why? Because we were worth it. People are worth it. If they're worth the if we're worth the best to God, wow. You see, God sent his only Son. He sacrificed his only Son to save man. This is the ultimate act of love. John 15 and 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You see, love motivated him to do something, to give. God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. Now think about it, guys. As a father, fathers, pay attention for a moment. As a father, you know what? Fabian, I'm willing to sacrifice for you. I'm willing to go out on the limb personally for you. But it's a whole different story to let one of my boys do it. Okay, I mean, Brother Rick, I'm willing to go. I remember for 5 years I served in the fire department. Okay, fire department people, they're a little kooky sometimes because when everybody's running away, we're running toward. Okay, now they train you to do that kind of stuff. Okay, but I'm willing to put my life on the line to help others. But I don't know how excited I'd be to send Hunter or Hayden that way. Because Jennifer, that's my boy. If something happens to me, hey, I'm an old fella, okay? My best days are behind me, okay? But these boys, they're my boys. Brother Jerry, they're my boys. I'm willing to sacrifice me, but my boys, it's a different story. God so loved the world that he gave his only boy. He gave his only Son. Brother Bernie, he gave the best that heaven had to offer. He broke the bank. He gave everything in Jesus. Why did he do it? Because he loves us. Because he loves those people in Africa. Because he loves those people in Bayou Vista. He loves the people of Berwick. He gave the best that heaven had to offer. The word gave has a twofold meaning. God gave his son to the world and he gave his son to die. You see, giving to this world was bad enough because he was giving them to a world that was fallen, depraved, wicked, rebellious. He sent Jesus to a world that was full of darkness, hostility, wrath, anger, greed, immorality, sin, and shame. He left the place of heaven where he was exalted, where he was the object of all affection, to come to a place where he was ridiculed and despised and hated. And God knew that his purpose was to die. Wow. Guys, that's the heart of missions. It's the heart of God. He gave up his son to be separated from him, allowing Jesus to die for the sins of men, to allow Jesus to die for our sins. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 5, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Amen? A couple verses later, he says, "Thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift." You know, guys, we've been given some good gifts before, okay? I love getting gifts. How about you? I like my birthday. You know, I got a birthday coming up next month, September 27th. I'll take gifts, okay? I'll take banana pudding. Okay, I'll take something good to eat, Sister Valley. Anything really will be good. By the way, I figured out I'll never lose weight here. Okay, I'm just going to be fat till Jesus comes back. Okay, because first of all, my idea of dieting is not so good because it's only one letter away from dying. Okay, and we got too many good cooks in here. Okay, man, have you ever had Debbie's cooking? I mean, man, everything's good. Okay, everything's good. You know what, guys? I love getting gifts. I really do. It's cool to get gifts, okay? Do you ever deserve a gift? You ever do anything to earn a gift? Look, my next birthday, I just simply turned 44. That shouldn't get you a gift, but I hope it does, okay? Why? Because it's a gift. I didn't do anything. Think about the gift that Jesus was. Did we deserve it? No. Let me tell you, you never ask God for what you deserve, because what do we deserve? What do we deserve? Not much, huh? There's no good in us. We don't deserve heaven. We deserve hell. We don't deserve blessings. We deserve judgment. We didn't deserve Jesus, but God gave him anyhow because he loved us, because he loves those people in Africa, because he loves the people in Berwick. God gave Jesus. It's the heart of missions. It's the heart of why we exist as a church. It's all about God's love compelling him to give. Giving, you've heard me say this before, is the natural response to loving. If you say you love, you're going to give. I say I love my wife, so I give her stuff. Okay? I'm going to give her this afternoon the gift of a clean house. Right now, that's not a gift that's ready to be given, okay? I should say it this way. Hunter and Hayden are going to give their mother the gift of a clean house, okay? So we got a few things to do, but we're going to give her that gift. Right now, the gift ain't ready. But the gift doesn't have to be ready till she gets home at about 4:30, 5 o'clock, okay? Hayden's like, snap, I had other plans, okay? But guys, we need to realize that if we love, we naturally give. So, God loved, God gave. Look at what he gave, why he gave. The final portion of John 3:16. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, guys, God so loved that he gave the very best that heaven had to offer. And he gave Jesus for a purpose. That purpose was threefold. Number one, to save men from perishing. To save men from perishing. Perishing means to be lost, to be utterly destroyed, to lose utterly. You know, yesterday I watched an Alabama game. Now, I know some of you are shocked, okay? You know why I watched an Alabama game? Because, Jared, it was the game they lost, okay? I watched them perish. I watched them lose utterly. I loved every second of it. Jamal came over to our house, and he's an Alabama fan. I said, "Jamal, come watch Alabama with Pastor Mo." He's like, "They're playing Clemson, ain't they?" Yeah. The reason I was watching it, because I knew how it was going to end. I love seeing Nick's face when they lose. You don't get to see that face very often. They don't lose enough. Hopefully the first Saturday of November I get to see that face. That's when they play LSU, for just those of you that don't know. Okay, get back to my notes. What did Jesus save us from? He saved us from perishing. He saved us from losing utterly, from losing everything. Perishing means to be in a lost state in this world. It means to die without purpose, without peace, without hope. Perishing means to be in a lost state in the world to come. It means having to die, facing judgment, condemnation, eternal separation from God. Jesus came so you don't have to have that. Jesus came to save us from perishing. He came to save us from ourselves. That's what Stephanie tells, the story of 6-7-year-old kids hooked on drugs. How is that possible? I cannot fathom that. That's the definition of perishing. That's what they came to do something about. You know, ministry is nothing more than finding a need and trying to meet it. They found ministry in Africa. Guess what, guys? You can find ministry right across the street at your neighbor's house. You can find ministry wherever you look. Just open your eyes. Look at the needs that are around us. But Jesus came to save us from perishing. He came to save us from hell and to heaven, because he came to save men to eternal life. You see, Jesus came in John 10:10. He said, I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. Now, he's talking about here on earth, we're supposed to have an abundant life, but he's really talking about eternity. Guys, heaven was created for you and I. It was created for a place for us to worship him perfectly, worship him eternally. There's another place in eternity, and it wasn't a place you were created for. It was a place that was created for the devil and his angels. That's the only people that belong there. That's the only entities that belong there. You and I do not belong there. Our friends and our family do not belong there. They belong in heaven. They belong in a place where Jesus promised that he's going to prepare a place for us. Guys, think about heaven for a minute. Think about heaven. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for us. He's got a pretty amazing place prepared for us, Brother Terry. Pretty amazing place. Patsy, it'd be the best place you've ever been. Oh, it'd be a great place. He's prepared it for you and I as believers. You and I who put our faith in him. Brother Bernie, you won't have to fix nothing in heaven. Aren't you excited? Okay. Sister Annalie, you won't have to clean nothing up in heaven. Aren't you excited? Okay. How many wives can get excited about that? Shani, you won't have no messes to clean up. Woo, that's heaven, okay? Guys, think about it. It's a place that's beyond our greatest imagination. And it's a place that Jesus came to make a way for us. Because in the natural, Fabian, we don't deserve that. We don't deserve God's best. We don't deserve even close to it. But through Jesus, we get it nonetheless. That's why Paul said, thank God for this unspeakable gift. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Guys, it's worth noting that salvation is conditional. A decision must be made, because the Bible says, whosoever believeth, we're all whosoevers. We all have the opportunity, but we have to make a decision. A decision must be made. They go to Africa. They tell people. I love the story about the old man. Guys, think about it. This old man for many, many years lived in spiritual darkness, had never even heard that there is a Jesus. Oh, he knew there was something missing. He knew something wasn't adding up. He looked at the creation. He said, surely this couldn't just have happened. But then y'all came and you shared the good news. You see, guys, it's only good news if you hear it. It's only good news if you get the opportunity to make a decision. And he made the right decision. You know, I don't know. I don't know if that man's still alive today. But you know what? One day he'll realize that this decision he made was the greatest decision of his life. It's the greatest decision I ever made. Oh, it was a good decision when I decided to marry Chantel. Really good decision, okay? It was a good, Jesse, good decision when you married that pretty girl. Okay, good decision. We've all made some good decisions. But guys, I made one great decision. As a 20-year-old, I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and he changed my life. How do I know that to be the case? Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Sister Garland, if you'd begin to play softly. So friends, why do we here at Lighthouse Community Church support missions? Because love compels us. Love compels us to action, just like it did for God. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And he gave his Son for a purpose. He gave his Son to make a way for you and I. You and I who deserved hell, you and I who deserved judgment, you and I who did not deserve this unspeakable gift, have an opportunity to ask Jesus to come in our heart and change our lives. Many of us in here, we've done this years ago, and I'd like every Christian to be praying right now. But some of us are still waiting to make a decision.